So I wanted to start. We've talked about history. Pastor Michelle talked about unity last week, I believe it was, and our oneness. And it's important because it's more than just a me thing also. This is about us. Not any one of us individually can accomplish or do anything that God's called us to do that would have impact without all of the rest of us performing our part. Bible says that the body is fitted and held by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. So I want you to hold on to your individual hat, but I want you to kind of get that other one also, that this is a we thing, not just a me thing. As a matter of fact, can you repeat that? This is a we thing, and not just a me thing. Good, good, good. Now, if you don't remember anything else that you take through the week, you can take that with you. But this is really about a bigger story. So the place that I wanted to start is just that, at the beginning of the big story, so that we can understand that this is about us. And I want to talk in particular about an aspect of that. Pastor Michelle talked about unity. I want to talk about light today. So beginning, and many of you know, the one book that I love, that I like to kind of hang out in and live in, is Genesis. There are two books in the Bible that are kind of favorites for me. One is Genesis, the other one was Ephesians. And so, but I want to start in Genesis right at the very beginning. So this is, just follow along with me, because I'm trying to set the stage for something that I believe God wants us to be aware of this morning. Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the surface of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Four conditions and circumstances in the beginning. Notice it doesn't say at the beginning, but in the beginning. So there's a period that the Bible speaks about. But there are four conditions and circumstances in the initial creation. First of all, it says that the earth was formless. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless. No definite or regular shape or form. There was a shapelessness. We're not talking about the globe as we know it right now, but this was shapeless, formless. So the second of the conditions was that it was empty, that there was a void, totally empty, nothing there other than God himself. The thing that we need to understand in our own theology is that God has always been. We all know that. There's nothing before God nor after God. He's just always been. My mind is too small to get a hold of that, to really understand what that, because I'm always searching for, well, what was before? No, there was no beginning for God. He has always been. And until creation, he is all there was. So now there is this thing that is his creation. Shapeless, formless, empty. And then it says, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. Darkness, absence of light. No light whatsoever. I was curious about the deep. Some years ago, there was a movie, and I think it was called The Deep. And I, you all know me, I like the little words. So I wanted to know just what is this issue, the deep, what is that? Well, In some respects, it refers to oceans, vast bodies of water, the deep, the floor of the ocean. But there's another definition that I found that was fascinating. And what it was, it's the vast extent of empty space. Isn't that amazing? Vast extent of just empty space. So God creates space, and there's just this expanse of nothing but space. And what covered that? Darkness. Now, as we were worshiping, I thought about something. I wanted to relate to you a little story about darkness, because I don't think we quite understand. Darkness is more than just absence of light. It almost has a personality and a character of its own. Some years ago, this was when I was in between high school and college, for a summer job I worked at, and most of you are too young to remember this. Some of you who are older may remember this. Our family, my sister in particular, was family of some folks who owned a funeral home, the House of Wills, 55th. House of Wills was a 4 or 5 story mansion, big house, huge place. And on the first floor was the funeral home. My sister knew some of the family members, and so I needed a summer job. And so she said, well, go and talk to the Wills. I think Harry Wills was the guy, one of the sons that I talked with. And he hired me for a quick job to paint the fire escape in this place. Now, funeral homes are just kind of gloomy places. They're just creepy. They try to make them nice, but I don't care what you do to them. They're still just that. And so the first floor, like I said, of this house was a funeral home. And because we knew the family, we were there often just to visit with them in the office. But my job was specifically to paint the fire escape, which was on the back of this place. The upstairs apartments, which is where the families lived, that owned the funeral home, were these marvelous places. You'd never know that that's where you were. But my job was paint the fire escape. And they give it a little black can of paint and so on. And so I took 10, started at the top to work my way down, but inevitably and invariably ran out of paint in the can. So I had to go and get more paint. Well, in the basement of the House of Wills was this long corridor that ran down. How the morgue was on the first floor, so that wasn't an issue, but they had their showroom in the basement. So you've got this long hallway and these rooms on either side that had literally open caskets in them. The thing was that the light was largely in the front part of the hallway. The storage room where the paint and everything was way at the end of the hallway. So as you walked down the hallway, it got darker and darker and darker and darker. And this was a big place. So by the time I literally got to the little storage room at the end of the hallway in the basement, there's no light back there. Open the door, put my hand in front of my face, couldn't see my hand. It was so dark back there. Got the paint out, and I had to go back down this hallway with all these empty caskets. And when I was a kid, I don't know why we do this, but we love those horror movies, you know, all of that stuff. That's a part of the fallen nature, by the way. But that's all I could envision, was just that. Knowing that there were dead people on top, empty caskets there, and all of this darkness, death and darkness. That's all I saw. I got the one can out, went back upstairs, and that was my first and last day working at the House of Wills. I was just so intimidated by all that, but I had never been in a place where it was so dark that I couldn't see anything. My hand in front of my face, it actually hurt my eyes, it was that dark. The condition when God begins all of this is this darkness. Here's where you learn one of the things about how God works. It says, let him who boasts boast of this, that he knows and he understands me. The thing about God is that God, I forgot one other thing. I mentioned three of the conditions. Absence of light, over the vast extent of empty space. The fourth condition was the Spirit of God who was moving over the waters. And so in the space where the earth was, guess what there was? Water. Part of creation. And so who's there in that fourth condition? You've got formlessness, you've got emptiness, you've got darkness, and then you've got the Spirit of God who's moving above the waters. The atmosphere in all of that in which God was operating was the Spirit of God who was moving above the water. That's an important thing. That was the fourth of those conditions. Now I can go on. So into that, where the atmosphere was set by the Holy Spirit, what does God do? He speaks. And what does he say? Let there
be light.
Thank you. The very first thing that God does, he turns on the lights. He turns on the lights. Why is that? Because God operates in light. It is his character. It is his nature. Someone asked me once, they said, well, wait a minute, I'll mention this in a moment, but he didn't create the sun right away. What was the light that he turned on? It was his own light. The Shekinah, brilliant glory of God. What God does always comes out of who he is. And he will always operate in light. That's important because that's what we want to talk about this morning, is this issue of light. So he turns on the lights. So at the very beginning, what do you see? You see darkness, you see emptiness, and all of the creation, by the way, those 6 days that are there, kind of one of the things that you need to understand is that there is a pattern to that, and I'll mention that in a minute. But every one of the things, day number one, day number two, do you know what he did? He was addressing those three issues. Darkness, emptiness, formlessness. Everyone, if you take a look at the 6 days, addresses those issues. And who was the one that was carrying the work out? He said, let there be light. I love God's word. He said, let there be light. Who do you think was involved in all of that? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning, again, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, here's the Father. Here's God at the beginning. He says, let there be light. Who's the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. So who's the one who's forming and creating all of this? It's Jesus. Let there be light. He's with the Father. He's God. He's with God. And so now you've got the Father and the Son. John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So you've got now in creation, in the very beginning, you've got God, the Father. You've got Jesus, the Word, who's the Son, and who's the one that's moving above? All three involved in that. Isn't that amazing? So when it then says in verse 26, let us make man in our own image, you've got all. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In all that God does, you always have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's one of those things about God. God operates in community, in the corporate, which is a lesson for us. We cannot operate and should not operate alone. It's more than a me thing. It's a we thing. Second thing, there's a distinct pattern that I want you to take a look at for a moment, and then I want to jump into what that means for us in terms of how we operate. Genesis chapter 1 again, verse 14 through 19. Just follow with me. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, and let them be for the lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, And it was so. Verse 16. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. Verse 17. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a fourth day. That's day number four. Two lights. Greater light, lesser light. Two sources of light. That's physical light now that we're talking about. You're talking about bodies, physical, material bodies that are emanating light. Greater light is referring to that governs during the day. What's the greater light that governs the day? Sun. Physical body. Does light come from the sun itself? Absolutely it does. And it governs during the day. I looked up the word govern because I was curious, because the Bible said the greater light governs in the day, the lesser light governs at night. Govern. Govern is to have predominating influence. So the predominating influence in the day is the source of light, which is the sun. Pastor Michelle, when we talked about rhythms a while ago, put a word in my vocabulary that I just have been fascinating with. It's a circadian rhythm. Didn't know that word until she brought it up, but I love that word. I tend to be a wordsmith, so I looked at it, but it having to do with the sun, that all life operates around this issue of the sun. Light and dark, light and dark, light and dark. So the governing light during the day when everything is taking place is the sun. But then there's a lesser light that has predominating influence at night or in the darkness. And what is that lesser light? The moon. Does the moon have its own light? No, it's a rock. It's literally a rock in space that orbits this planet that just simply reflects the light of the sun. That's an amazing light, that light can reflect off of a rock and give light to have a predominating influence at night. That's amazing. That is an amazing thing. But that's how God operates. Primary source, secondary source. Another thing that you need to look at in terms of a pattern. See if you can pick this up. There are several verses I just want to string together. Genesis 1, verse 5. There was evening, there was morning, one day. Genesis 1, verse 8. There was evening, there was morning, a second day. Genesis 1, verse 13. There was evening, there was morning, a third day. Verse 19. There was evening and morning, a fourth day. Verse 23. There was evening, there was morning, a fifth day. Verse 31. There was evening, there was morning, a sixth day. Do you pick up a pattern? What's the pattern?
Darkness to light.
Darkness to light. Evening, morning. That is so important if you want to understand where we are and what's taking place now, because in God's calculus, here's what happens. Things go from darkness to light. Remember the conditions that we talked about in Genesis and in the first part of that? Formlessness, emptiness, darkness. Darkness to light. It's how God operates. In the New Testament, Paul writes this to the Colossian church. Chapter 1, verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus, who is the light of the world, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you see the same pattern that's with us. We all went from darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, to a place of light. So that's an important thing in terms of how God operates, how we are called. We are the ones who are not the primary source of life, light. But he's called us out of darkness into light, and he's shined the light of his Son
on us. One other thing about John chapter 1 concerning Jesus, because it's important for us to understand, is John 1 verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We already established that. All things came into being through Jesus. There's the Bible actually saying it. And nothing came into being apart from him. So Jesus is actually the one the Bible teaches who created all this, the Word of God, and the one who acted upon the Word and has his hands in all of this, orchestrating and putting it all together, is who? The Holy Spirit, who's moving above it. He comprises the atmosphere. Something that just as a little aside, the only atmosphere that God will operate in is the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. When he speaks, God said, let there be light. What was the atmosphere that was there? The Holy Spirit moving above the deep. So that is the atmosphere. That's why as those who embrace the Holy Spirit, it's so important for us to understand this is more than just simply about a few little doctrinal, theological issues. There's a reality that God is communicating to us. So it's the Father speaking through the Son into the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's who we are. He's the one who does his work in us. So anyway, so here's Jesus, and actually said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 4, chapter 1 of John. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. In him, in verse 4, it says, was the life, L-I-F-E, important word again. And the life, Jesus' life, it actually says, was the light. It's the light. So the life was the light of men. Say that, the life was the light of men. Come on, say it again. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If the life, Jesus' life, was the light of men, when you and I came to know Christ, when we believed, what was it that we received? His life. So now, not only is he the light, but we are. I heard someone here say it. We are. We are the light. He's the source. All life, physical and spiritual life. By the way, it's important to understand that it's spiritual life as well as physical life. Because what does sin do? It says that we're all dead in sin. Sin separates us. What does sin remove from us? Spiritual life. Do we physically die right away? No. But the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Spiritually, we're dead. We're separated from God. We don't have that. So when we're born again, what gets restored to us? What gets imparted to us? Life. Life. Now, I want to make a distinction because now I've been 52 years in the Lord now, and I spent so many of those years in church. I love church. I love God's people being connected together. But folks, let me tell you, this ain't all there is. These 2 hours ain't all there is. There's 166 other hours of life that you have. And a lot of things happen in things in your family, things in your finances, things on your job, things when you're on your vacations, things when you're in the bank, in the grocery, all of that is life that's going on. So what does it say? And the life was the light of men. So when are we to manifest the life? When are we supposed to manifest the life? All the time. In what places? Every place, all the time, we're manifesting the life. And so here's what begins to happen now. Apart from God, there's nothing but darkness. And so when we go into a place, what is God's expectation that the life of Christ is being manifest through us in all that we do? I'll tell you, if you're like me, and I'm increasingly finding, I didn't ask LaWanda's permission on this, but I'll take a liberty.
there is a place that for me was always a difficult place to manifest the life of Christ. And I'm finding out that my wife is like me. Do you know where that place was? Behind the steering wheel. Any of you have that problem? Show of hands. I'm just curious. All of a sudden, all of that stuff starts coming out. All places, all times. I used to sell copiers for Pitney Bowes. Hated that job. Copier salesmen were just a step above used car salesmen. I hope there are no used car salesmen here, but it was just a step above that. And it was just difficult for me because I knew God had opened that door for me. And I did all right. My boss saw a lot more potential in me, and she always was trying to push me to be more aggressive and to say more things. And at times, she would try to get me to say things that I knew were not true. And I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And at one point, she told me, Carl, we just have to get a little bit more of the devil in you. She knew I was a Christian. She joked with me about it, but I knew, God, you watching. Because who are we reflecting? Everything that we do, we're reflecting him. We're children of light. And so there's this matter of light that's shining in darkness. Michaela, I have a little experiment I just want to do. I want to show you something. Can't get this room much darker than that, but I thought, just so that you know, what happens when you're in a dark place? Just a little bit of light. This really isn't a whole lot of light, but it makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a difference. Here's the thing. You can turn that back on. Thank you. If the little bit of light that we have in the darkest of rooms can impact that darkness, how much more do you think the power of Jesus as the light would be in a dark world shining through all of us? Amen. Do you see the impact of what happens when you're not reflecting him? And you're in an environment or in a circumstance where there is darkness. If you're not reflecting his light, there are only two kingdoms as far as I'm concerned. If you're just simply reflecting yourself, you're part of the darkness that's there. Are you not? Yeah. So you need to be aware of that. We need to be careful about where we are, who we're with, and what we're doing in those environments. It's really easy when the winds are blowing. We talked about the winds a few weeks ago. When the winds are blowing, when the cultural winds or the relational winds or whatever they are, whatever the issues are that are prevailing, it's really easy to go with the flow of that. And when you do, you are as much a part of the darkness. Yeah. Now, that's not God's intent for you. God's intent is for you to be light. It takes a lot more courage and faith to say, Lord, in the midst of all of this darkness, I will represent you. Yeah. My pastor and one of the spiritual fathers that in my own life used to say, if everybody else decided they're not going to obey Jesus in this situation, I will obey him in this situation. If you're the only one. And sometimes you may find yourself in that place where you're the only one. You're the only one. But I'm not just talking about just the places and the relational things that go on. I'm talking also about just our own conditions, our own things. What do I do with my finances? What do I do with my health? Do I reflect Jesus in all of those ways? Now, let me ask you, and Pastor Michelle mentioned this the other day, it's really impossible for us to do and be everything that God's called us to do. You do understand that. We can't do that. So here is God in his goodness who has made a provision. And his provision is the gift that Jesus gave us when he ascended, the Holy Spirit. He's the one whose hands are in the mix, working, shaping, molding. And his hands are in your mix if you will yield to him. Most of us neglect the Holy Spirit in the way that we really do need to relate to him. Yeah. Before I really got serious about following Jesus, the only ones who, well, no, I won't go there. I won't go there. Early on, all I knew about the Holy Spirit was I'm speaking in tongues. I love that. I'm like Paul. I speak in tongues more than you all. I pray that if you have not done that yet, just God makes that available for you. It may not be today, but just continue to go. You know, you ask the Father, he'll grant you the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only thing that's available. He makes everything available for all that you need to be and to do. Paul writes this to the Philippian church. He is at work in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So you can't do it on your own. So what does God do? He gives you his Holy Spirit so that you can be a part of that. So that in the midst of darkness, you find everything that you need to reflect the light that's necessary for the darkness that you're in. Any of you in a place where you're the only Christian where you work? Or one of very few Christians where you work? Yeah. You are a part of, you have a part to play. You are the lesser light that governs in the dark at night. Predominant influence. Not because you are so inherently influential, no. But it's the Spirit of God who operates in you in that environment, in that setting. And we're called to live as children of the light. And there's not a place in your life and in mine where that's not the case. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Michaela, I'm so far off my notes, we'll just fly here. But here's where it becomes important. Our gathering is here where we're together. But let me ask you honestly, does this 2 hours, is this an accurate representation of your life? This 2 hours. Most of relationships won't take place in a substantive way during these 2 hours. It's when we live together, when we are connected, when our lives are joined one to another. That's the place where this makes all of the difference. When we're done today, one of the things that I want to have us pray for is for the body, because we're all a part of kind of a, if I hate to call it this, but almost an ecosystem that's dysfunctional across the church, where we're satisfied with this, but there's not a whole lot more that we carry outside of this in the places that we occupy, visit, or inhabit. Because it's in those dark places where God wants the light to come. Why? Because he goes from darkness to light. Why are you in the job that you're in? Because he's going from darkness to light, and you get to reflect that. Why are you in the neighborhood that you're in? Because he goes from darkness to light. You get to work that. Why are you in the family that you're in? Because he's going from darkness to light. Any of you, show of hands, anyone who has unbelievers in their family. Yeah, I knew that was the case. Why are you in that family? Going from darkness to light. There's all the racial stuff that goes on right now. I mean, I hate that stuff. I wish I had time, maybe another time, to just talk about just those dynamics, the racial and the cultural stuff. The world has no solution for that stuff. It's provoking violence. It's provoking discrimination. All kinds of things. Into that darkness, what does he have? He's got a body. He's got a kingdom of people who are in how they relate to one another. What are they doing? Bringing light into darkness. What does light tend to do? Light does two things. It exposes and it illumines. Does it not? If I need to see what's going on to discover what's really taking place, or if I have something that I want to showcase, what I do, I put a spotlight on it because it will illumine that. But if there's something that's nefarious that's going on because that's how Satan operates. He operates in darkness, by the way. So what do you want to do? If you need to shine the light in, what are you doing? You're exposing it. And oftentimes what will happen is, as you are manifesting your obedience to Christ, your faith, your faithfulness, the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus in you is illuminating who he is so that people see you. But who do they really see? Christ in you. Pastor Michelle talked about embracing hope the last week. What does the scripture say? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Shekinah, the hope of glory that you have is that Christ shines in you. And so, Lord, let me be light so that in this dark place where everybody else is cheating on their business reports, I'll do mine in a way, Lord, which honors you. It illumines that. It shines the light because now the testimony of your life, your integrity, your character shines the light on what's taking place. The other thing that light does, it exposes darkness. It exposes wickedness. One of the things that I think we really do need to be aware of is that God is looking to expose darkness. Beloved, don't be afraid to expose and to call out darkness and wickedness and sin. Don't be afraid to do that. It's not just our words. Like I said, our lives bear witness to who we are. But our lives without our testimony is only part of the equation. Our lives and our testimony need to line up because then we have authority. Then we can say, this is this. It said concerning Jesus that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Word of God manifests in your life so that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are at work, manifesting light in where you go. Love one for another. Sacrifice. Serve one another. When all of those things take place and the world sees that, you now have light that's saying, here is the way. This is what Jesus does. See how they love one another. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us. See how they lay down their lives one for another. The world sees that stuff. We lived in, and I'll finish here in a moment. We lived in Lee Harvard for a number of years when we first came back to Cleveland. Lee Harvard, for those of you who don't know, is one of the southeastern neighborhoods in the city of Cleveland. When I moved there, my family moved there in 1960. It was a mixed neighborhood. Within 4 years, all the white folks moved out and it became a black neighborhood. It's where the black middle class grew up in Cleveland in the 60s and 70s, Lee Harvard. We moved back to Cleveland in 1986. We ended up, or in 88, we ended up moving at one point just up the street from the house that I grew up in.
black neighborhood and such. Ryan remembers, his brother remembers, we were part of a church that was that at Blacks and Whites. And there would be some Sundays where members of that church would come to our house. And it became such a regular thing at some point in time where some of the folks would come, these were white folks that would come, they would park their car, and they would say, it's that house right there. Why? Because they saw an expression of something of the kingdom that they had not seen in their own neighborhood. And they knew it, they saw it, they identified it. It's that house right there. We are a light that's called to relate differently to one another, that's called to relate differently in everything that we do. Why? Because we're part of another order. We are a part of the one of the order where the sun is the primary light and he shines his light through the rocks that are us. And by the way, we are rocks. And we have rocks. My one friend, Jim Engelbert, who's with the Lord now, used to talk about every person has their bag of rocks. I got mine. So I can't say, it's me. No, 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 Lord, it's you. And you've forgiven me, and you are now using me in terms of reflecting you. Every one of you has a part to play in God's bigger picture. Because what is he doing? He is bringing light out of darkness. Huh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll end with this. When you fast forward to the end of the book in Genesis, or in Revelation, Revelation 22, 21 and 22. Very interesting because it talks about a river. And wherever the river goes, there's healing. It talks about, in essence, talks about the end of all things, heaven and so on. But the interesting thing that it says is that there's no longer a day or a night. There's no longer night. Night's been done away. Darkness is done away. So that the only light now is the light that comes from God himself. That's where we're headed. But you and I get to be a part of living that out right now. Be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Because each little area that reflects my life, my activities, my attitudes, my words, my relationships, potentially has the ability to be light in the midst of darkness. That's why knowing the Word of God is so important. Thy Word is what? A lamp to my feet. You see how God uses light all the time. He's always using light. If you're ignorant of the Word of God, then I guarantee you in areas of your life, you're in darkness. I'll give you that one for free. There's no condemnation with that. Because the real issue is, if that's the case, receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit, confess, and repent. And seasons of refreshing will follow. God doesn't condemn us. He shows us the realities of our lives so that we can be healed, forgiven, and restored. Why? Because he's called us to be light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You know what he says in Matthew? You are the light of the world. Does he not? Sermon on the Mount. He's the light. We're the light. Be careful, not as a result, or not trying to be self-righteous, not to be right, because you can never be right. Don't try to establish your righteousness. When I keep these laws, you know, I don't drink, chew, or run with boys who do. That's not the issue. Be careful so that I can accurately reflect the light and be in this place of darkness, light that governs in night. We're in a time that is dark, very dark. And each one of you, myself, all of us, have opportunities constantly to reflect His light in our own personal lives, in our lives together, so that at the end of things, there's no night. Ultimately, that's God's plan. No longer a night, no longer need for it. Why? Because it's all light now. It's us and Him. There's a song we used to sing when we were kids. Again, most of you wouldn't remember this, wouldn't know it. But it went, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." We sang it in Vacation Bible School when I was back then. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Some of you remember that. Well, that's what it is. I got a little light. But when I put my light, Jason, with your light, Chuck, with your light, Elaine, with your light, that's pretty awesome. Walk as children of light. Obey all that He said. Let His life be light in and through.